Us for Women's Fitness with Carolyn Bradshaw every Monday and Thursday at 6 p.m. at 2401 Randleman Road. Cost is $7. Come and get your temple in shape.
Thank God in heaven. Thank God in heaven. Thank God in heaven. Heaven, heaven, God in heaven.
Take our word for it. Come, get a word for yourself.
Service will begin in 60 seconds.
To the Wednesday night praise party. God is awesome. He has given us the victory over every situation, over every trial, over every circumstance. God is so amazing. We bless you tonight. You are amazing and awesome, God. We love you. Thank you for loving me first. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. We are the people of destiny tonight. And we're going to sing like we believe that. Come on, y'all. I'm a person.
I'm a person of destiny.
Grace and mercy follow me.
Grace and mercy follow me.
And I know I'm an overcomer.
And I know I'm an overcomer.
I'll always.
I'll always give praise.
To the one.
To the one who forever.
Come on, and him I try it.
Triumph. Every day.
So I will it.
I will.
Come on, let's lift it
my
up.
Voice and
praise comes before
praise
the victory.
The victory.
Here we go. John, I am.
I am victorious.
Come on, we are victorious.
I am victorious.
I am victorious.
I am victorious.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Oh, I am.
I am victorious.
Victorious.
I am victorious.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes,
from
yes,
the top,
I am.
I'm a person of destiny.
I'm a person of destiny. Grace and mercy follow me.
And I know
I'm an overcomer.
I will always
give the praise.
He's the one.
He's the one who forever
reigns.
In him I triumph.
Come on.
Every day. Living the best life.
Now every battle has Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
We better make some noise tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Real loud in your house right now. Hey, make a roar of praise in this place, because victory, he's won over and over. Hey, here we go.
You make a blind man see it. Make a lame man walk again. You cause the dead to rise, and that's why we dance in liberty. You're doing all again.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah, 'cause you're doing all again. Oh, 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 sing. You make a blind man see. Make a lame man walk, yeah.
Make the lame man walk.
Hey,
again.
You cause the dead to rise.
Hey,
and that's why we dance in liberty.
And that's why we dance.
Come on,
in
shout
liberty.
Victory in his blood.
You're doing it all again.
Blood, oh Jesus, we lift you up, holy God, you are over and over and over. Meditate on that. Over and over and over. Over and over and over. Your blood keeps covering me. Over and over and over. Shout in your place right now. He's sprinkling all.
You are so good. He's so good. Hey, hey, hey. In your home, start dancing. Put your hands up and say, 'cause you're doing
it all again.
You're doing it all again.
'Cause you're doing it all again.
You're doing it all again.
'Cause you're doing it all again.
Over and over, yeah.
'Cause you're doing it all again.
Obedient Savior.
you are at home, why don't you give God the biggest shout of praise that you've given him all day today. God's doing it again. He's healing again. He's reviving again. He's setting free again. If God's ever done anything for you in the past, know that he can do it again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. Well, it's so good. It's so good to be with you tonight, live via internet, live stream. We're so glad that you joined us tonight, and we're so glad to be able to bring the word to you in this format. We're going to pray before we get going here. We want to pray over you and your family, over your entire household. We even want to pray for this country. We believe that we are the voice of God in this nation. We believe as the people of God, as we join together in faith, that every weapon that's formed against us can't prosper. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we condemn it to show it to be in the wrong. So we condemn you, coronavirus. We curse you at your roots. We curse you and command you to go. We declare our economy, our nation will become stronger and more vibrant and alive. And we declare that we are in the King Jesus. We will not bow down. We will not fall down to sickness. We will live and not die. And I pray for every elderly person. I declare healing and wholeness to them. Healing and wholeness to your entire family. I declare peace over your household. Peace over your finances. Peace. Be still in the name of Jesus. If you're in agreement with that, give God the biggest shout of praise you've given him all day today. Say, I'm free. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm victorious. Amen, amen, amen. Well, it's such an honor. You can be seated. It's such an honor to come to you tonight. I want to thank my band and my singers and my team for being here with me tonight and coming out. And as you can see in this big sanctuary, it's a different kind of feel, and we're in a new environment in the United States and all around the globe right now. This is unprecedented. But it's not a surprise to God. This whole situation did not catch God off guard. He's not surprised by it at all. And even though the coronavirus is new, it's not, the healing of God is 2,000 years old and is present for us right now today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we just stand in the blood. We stand in his covenant. And that's why we gather together, so that we know what his covenant says and we can believe God for all his absolute best. If you're in the place, say amen. Amen. Y'all, I thank y'all for being here, by the way. Let me make some of these announcements, and then we're going to jump right into the word. I know many people are wondering, if you're here locally, wondering what's going on. Are we still having some of the meetings, or what's going on? So that's what I'm going to tell you right now. We've had to reschedule the 5K run at Burr Mill Park, and it's moved all the way to Saturday, September the 12th. Mark that on your calendar. As you know, if you don't know, the parks have closed. Nobody can go in the park. And we tried to reschedule it, and of course they said, they gave us a couple dates, and they said, well, we'll probably have to change those dates. And we got all the way up to September, and they said, we're pretty sure we'll be able to keep those dates if everything goes as we're believing God for and as we're praying. So we're planning for that for September 12th. So don't panic. That'll give you more time to get prepared. Say amen. And more ladies can register. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Voice from nowhere. All right. And also, we're having women's exercises every Monday and Thursday. Still doing that, right, baby? Monday and Thursday. And also women's exercise at 6 a.m. on Fridays. Is that correct? Yeah, 5:45 a.m. So don't just because you're stuck in the house stop exercising. Keep your body right. In fact, it's good to get out and take a walk. I think it's going to be really warm here in the city this week, like 80 degrees. It's going to be beautiful, so you can get out and get some fresh air and get some exercise in. And, of course, the women will be exercising here on Monday and Thursday night at 6 p.m. and also 5:45 a.m. on Friday. Also, Marriage on the Rock class is our marriage class for those who are married, who want to take their marriage up, for those who are wanting to be married, planning to be married. We ask you to get in that course if you want us to marry you. And you need that. You need those lessons. You need those instructions from the Word of God. And if your marriage is toe up from the flow up, come on, please get in the class. And the class will be this Saturday at 9:30 a.m. Of course, we've taken all the precautions to make sure that you are safe in those meetings. Amen. Also, we're in need of volunteers to help us vacuum and clean the sanctuary on Thursday mornings. That's right, right? Thursday mornings at 8:30 a.m. And if you can come and help us, just come on out to the church. Staff will be here at 8:30 a.m. If you can help us out, this would really be a blessing and help you get out of some of that cabin fever. Get off, and you can come in here and pray in tongues and pray and get a little exercise too and help us out serving the kingdom of God as well. Amen. Also, the children's choir will be practicing this Saturday. Of course, we just have to be liquid. We just got to be fluid because who knows, things can change at any time. Of course, they're practicing for their Easter services, but of course, Easter is coming up April 12th or something like that, I think. April 12th, so that's just a few weeks. So all those things may change. We may not be having an Easter service in the sanctuary. We'll definitely have an Easter service online. Either way it goes, we're going to be able to be with you in your home. So if you're here or if you're there, we're going to be here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's see. Financial peace. Again, all these things I'm announcing, they may be subject to change. But right now, financial peace is scheduled for Saturday, April the 4th. If you want to get your money up, get your money right, particularly in these types of times, you need this financial peace class to get your money right. Your money messed up can mess up about everything, so we want to help you out with that. Say amen. It's a 9-week session on Saturdays beginning April the 4th at 12 p.m., and you can sign up and purchase your class materials at www.destinygso.org. And again, the children's ministry is having an annual egg hunt. Of course, that is subject to change after Easter Sunday service, April the 12th. And, of course, we're in need of plastic, eggs, and candy and that kind of stuff and volunteers. But, again, the closer we get, the more we'll be able to say if that's going to be still on or not. Praise the Lord. Either way it goes, Easter's going to be here. We're going to celebrate Jesus anyhow. Say amen right there. Hey, I want to encourage you at this time, if you're watching us right now on our website at www.destinygso.org, I want to encourage you to give. I want to encourage you to sow in the kingdom of God. If you can continue to sow during these times, please sow and give. You can also text to give at 336-344-7088. Can you say amen? I hope you're ready for the word. Are y'all ready for the word? I am too. Grab your Bible. If you've got your Bible with you, if you're right there at home with your mobile device or your Bible, grab it and hold it up in the air. Say it real loud and real strong. Let's say it together. Say it. This is, come on, God's word to me. I am all it says that I am. I can do all it says I can do, and I have all it says I have. As I put these words in my heart, keeping them on my lips, then shall I make my way prosperous. I shall deal wisely and have great success all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God one more big old shout of praise. It'll do you good and make the dirt devil nervous. Praise the Lord. Again, I'm so honored and blessed that you've joined us tonight, and I ask you to share this out and tell your friends. And it's a great time to get together with family around the word and friends, particularly if you're at home. It might be a great time to invite somebody to come and watch our service with you and get the word with you. It really is going to be the key to your success and longevity. The word of God is going to be the key, and that's why we're working on this series. We started a series 4 weeks ago called God's Word. Today we're on part 4. And so we've covered a lot of ground, but let's jump right into the Word. Let's jump right into it. Turn over in your Bible to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32. We're talking about God's Word because the Bible talks about itself, that it is a book unlike any other. The Bible says that God's Word is living. It is alive. The words on these pages mixed, put in your heart, taken off these pages, put in your heart, mixed with faith and spoken out of your mouth, can move mountains, can remove sickness. The faith of God and the power of God is in His God-breathed word. And when we take these words off these pages and mix it in our mouth and in our heart with faith, they have power to change things in life. I'm a living witness to it. And so as we jump into this, these passages, these foundation checks, turn over in your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 8. Very familiar passage of Scripture. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. This is Bible study, so I want to show y'all some real truths tonight. Tonight I want to talk to you about the Word. God's Word is light and life. God's Word is light and life. Already in the past, over the past few weeks, we said that God's Word is truth. God's Word is truth. John chapter 17 and verse 17 that says, sanctify, Jesus said it, sanctify them with thy word, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. Today in the world that we live in the culture we live in, there are no absolute truths in our culture. Many people say, well, this is my truth. They set their own rules, their own regulations, and say, this is the truth that I live by. But we as believers live by the ultimate truth, the absolute truth. And Jesus says he is that absolute truth, and his word is that absolute truth. And for us as believers, we've got to make that our final authority and the last saying. In other words, if in humanity, husbands are an authority in their household. But if a husband tells his family to do something that is not in line with the Word of God has the final authority. Government, we know, is an authority. But again, if government says something that is against or contrary to the Word of God, we as believers must take the Word of God as our final authority. We see that all throughout the Scriptures. And so the Word of God has power. It's different than any other book. It is seed, it is bread. The Bible says it is many things. And so we've been just breaking that down, because from this passage right here in John chapter 8 and verse 31, take a look at it. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide, that's a word that we don't use today in our modern vernacular, but it means to live in, to dwell, to continue in. If you abide, live, continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So a disciple is one who believes in Jesus but lives in his word. But that word abide means to live in, like I'm living in my body. I'm one with it. It's inseparable. Just like Jesus and the Word, me living in the Word are inseparable. That's my guideline. That's how I live. Without the Word, I won't be able to live. And so he said, that's what makes a disciple a disciple. Today, many believers they're born again, they're converts, but not disciples. And a disciple is one who lives by the Word. Many people say, I know God and I love God. But they don't know him through the word. They don't have a personal, intimate relationship with the word. And that's why oftentimes they don't walk in all the promises that God has made for us. And that's what he's saying here. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And look what else. And you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. If you abide in my word, you're my disciple, and you'll know the truth. When you're living in the Word, you're living by the Word, ultimately you will have this intimate relationship with the Word, and that's what that word know means, ginosko. It's a word that's used like throughout the Bible, similarly to like a man and a woman having a marriage having a baby, producing a child, intimacy with the truth like that. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you have an intimate relationship with the truth doesn't even give you an option of freedom. It makes you free. No, if there's no freedom in an area of life, it's merely an indication that the truth hasn't been made known there. It hasn't made you free. And that's no shade. All that simply means is wherever there's bondage in our life, we just have to know how to put the word on that area of life. And that's what this series is about. I'm a person who used to be addicted to pornography. And I'm not ashamed to say that, because many people in our in this culture are exposed to that type of thing as a child and as a young person. And it can really mess up your life. I've seen it ruin people's lives. But learning to apply the truth to that area of my life set me free. Come on, somebody. And the truth will set you free from any type of addiction, any drug addiction, any alcoholism addiction, any sex addiction, any cussing addiction, any sin addiction, any kind of addiction. The Word of God will make you free from that when you know the truth. And so we're going to learn how to do that today. All right. Today, I want to show you that Jesus says this profound statement when he's describing, well, in the Gospels, when it describes who Jesus is and the Word in John chapter 1. And in the Gospel of John, it says something here. In fact, let's just turn over there real quickly. John chapter 1, you're all probably familiar with that. John chapter 1 is, John is different than all the other Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tell about Jesus. Matthew and Mark tell about Jesus' birth and growing up, and Luke, his whole development. But John teaches about Jesus as God. It shows him and depicts him as God. So it starts out completely different. Look how it shows, how it starts. In the beginning was the Word, and the verse 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here in the first verse, we see that God and his Word are one and the same. They're inseparable. It's vitally important that we know that, because many people say, I know and love God, but then they don't want to do what the Word says. There's a big difference right there. So he says they're inseparable, and we're going to talk about that. Watch this. He, or the Word, was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Through him who? Through the Word. All things were made through the Word, which is him, right? And without him, nothing was made that was made. This is awesome right here, because the Word of God is what's going to create everything God has for you in your life. It's the Word of God executed and implemented in your life that's going to cause everything that God has for you to come to life in your life, to bring to pass the destiny, the purpose, the health, the wealth, the provision that God has for you. It's going to be executed and delivered and manifested by the Word of God, mixed in your heart and spoken with faith, believed in. Amen? Watch what verse 4 says. In him, this is the verse I'm trying to get to, in him was life. In him was life. That word life right there is Zoe. In him, in the Word, is life. That word Zoe means the life that of God that makes God God. The life of God that makes God God is called Zoe. Eternal life. It's the life of God. Watch what it says. In him, or in the Word, was Zoe, life, the life of God, and the life was the light of men. The Zoe life is the light of men. So he describes here this life of God, which is in the Word, which is in Jesus, is called the light of men. That light is the life of God that's in us. Now, I want you to see it that way, because today I'm going to examine what that, why is it, why did he go into that? Why did he say it's light here? He says it's light. And he calls it the life of God here, because light does something different than Word. It's just showing another aspect of what the Word of God does. In him was life. In who was life? In the Word is life, and the life was the light of men. Why light? It uses light because light does something. Light causes darkness to be expelled. Light and darkness can exist in the same area. And so when light comes in, darkness has to go. And you see that in Genesis chapter 1. God always uses light to separate light from darkness. He calls us children of light to separate us distinctly from children of darkness. To separate us from darkness. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his son, of light. Son, we've been translated into that kingdom. But to delineate the two, to separate that they're clearly two, and this is very interesting, because the devil always wants to blend things together, blur the lines, make what's Christianity look like the world, and what's the world look like light, and what's darkness look like light, to mix the genders and make confusion there. God says, no, this is what it is. When my light comes in, it separates and delineates things. Truth from darkness, lies from truth. It separates things. Amen? In fact, that's what when Jesus said in John chapter 17, he said, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify simply means separate. Separate or set it apart. That's a part of what the word does. It separates you. In fact, it's a cleansing. It's a cleansing. That light cleanses and causes the life of God to push out any of the sickness, any of the darkness. And the key is, how do we get that? How do we draw off of that light? Let's take a look. Look over in the next verse, verse 5. I'm going to read verse 5. Yes, in the Amplified. Look at verse 5 in the Amplified. Watch this. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. You get what he's saying there? When the light or the life of God comes in, it forces out the darkness. There's no compromise. It pushes it out. If we want to get rid of darkness or habits or things of darkness in our life, we've just got to draw on that light. And it uses light for a reason. That's what we want to focus on today. Are y'all with me in this place today? Amen, amen. Turn on over in your Bible to John chapter 3, verse 16. Y'all already know this one by heart. I bet everybody at home knows this one. Come on, John chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm going to read all the way to 21, though. Are y'all there? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn, that means to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved, or sozoed, healed, set free, delivered. And he who believes in him is not judged or under condemnation, but he who does not believe is condemned or judged already. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn, but he who doesn't believe in me is already under condemnation. Why? Because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Watch this. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. The light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So we see here the first thing that light does is it exposes things that are in darkness. It exposes, and you can see right here, he says that, and we'll go back to, in fact, we're going to turn back to John chapter 1, because it says something else about the light and about John. But watch this. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light. He who does the truth comes to the light. So he says, when you come to that light, even though it's exposing your darkness, as you move towards that light, which is moving towards the truth is his word, the closer you move to his word, watch what it says, that light exposes your darkness. Let's say you're living in a sin. You're living in some kind of bondage, but you've justified that for a while, because you didn't know any better. You didn't know any difference. But then that truth exposed it. It exposed that truth. You have one or two options. If you move towards it and recognize, you know what? I am doing that wrong. I shouldn't be bound up in this. And you move towards the light. It exposes it at first so that you know it's right. But it doesn't. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you about it, but I did come to expose it so you would move towards the truth, move towards the light. Now, what happens oftentimes, though, when we find out truth and it exposes us, the Bible says, here it is. It says, the condemnation is that they come into that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness. In other words, they saw that was wrong, but they said, but I like doing that anyway. Right? So they like the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But he who comes to the light, and his deeds may clearly be seen, that they have been done in God. So what he's saying here, God will expose them to you. He's not going to put you on blast. That's not his plan, to put you on blast. Oftentimes we put ourselves on blast by rebelling against this. But God is like, he's not trying to put us on blast. What he's trying to do is get that exposed so he can expel it. If we don't acknowledge that this is truth and what I'm living in is darkness, he can never get rid of it. And God is so in love with us, he doesn't want us bound to things that will destroy us, because he's a loving God. Flip back over to John chapter 1. Look at verse 6. I didn't put this in my notes back there, but if y'all just look down here, right after it says, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We read that in the Amplified. It couldn't absorb it. Look at this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Look at this. This is the verse I want you to see. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. This lets me know that God wants to let every human being know the truth about who he is. Every human being is going to be exposed to the truth of who God is, his light. Watch this. Last one. He came to his own. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of God, of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So he's saying that every person that comes into the world is going to be exposed to this truth. Now, this is where we play a role in it. I don't know how, I cannot fathom how God makes that happen. But that's what he's saying. This is the light that God wants every human being to be exposed to him through this truth, through this knowledge of God, through this light. They have an option to repel that light or to move towards that light. If they move towards it and receive me, he says, it gives them the power to become the sons or children of God. Amen? All right, turn on over in your Bible to John chapter 8. I love John chapter 8 because we see, you've heard the story of the woman who was caught in the bed of adultery. And I want to read that story because Jesus announces right at the end of that story, that situation, that he is the light of the world. And we can see how his light exposed her sin, but it didn't condemn her. And then it goes on, and there's a dissertation. We're going to read a little bit here. We're in Bible study. Y'all don't mind reading a little bit, do you? John chapter 8, look at verse 1. In fact, people ask me often, I was asked just today or yesterday, I want to start reading the Bible, but I don't know where to start. I don't know how to read. And that's such a great question. It reminded me when I first got born again, I was 18 years old. In fact, even before I got born again, before I got saved, God was after me. Trying to get me in the kingdom of God. And I just started having a desire, you know what? I need to go to church. I need to read the Bible. Guess what I did? I opened the Bible. Guess what I did? To page 1. I thought it was like a book that you just read like that. And I started Genesis. Come on, how many of y'all know about Genesis 3? I was like, I don't know how this is going to help me out. And even tried to visit a church. This is God's honest truth. I went to a church. It was right by my girlfriend. I was 18 years old. Went right by. It was by my girlfriend's house, and I drive by it all the time. So I was like, oh, there's a church. I see them on Sunday. I'll go to that church. I went to that church. I'm a college kid. Walked into the church, and that Sunday they were having some kind of money love walk. The first service, they didn't even preach or anything. They said, well, now's the time to come on and bring your gift. And of course, I was offended by that. I didn't know what was going on. It was my first time walking, and I was like, I knew it. All these people wanted was my money. And then when they got up, and they said, the ushers were there, and they were having everybody get up out of the aisle and walk. And when they were telling them to go that way, I walked just the opposite way right off the door. But God still didn't give up on me. He still kept chasing me down. And here's how I got saved. I was in the bathroom at Ohio State University at a urinal, and somebody had put a track on all the urinals, and I just happened to pick it up, and it said on it how to get saved. I got saved by saying a prayer in a bathroom at Ohio State University. Just from looking at a prayer, I was like, wow, this is what I've been wanting to know. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. So the book of John is a great pick to start if you're wanting to study the Bible. And later on in the series, we'll talk about more how to get the word in you and how to study it, how to get the life out of it and into your heart, how to sow it into your life and plant it as seed and eat it as bread, and how to study it, how to have that kind of communion with God. But the book of John is a great place to start reading and then moving forward. In a good, simple translation that you understand, a newer translation if you like, New Living Translation, NIV, NASB, something like that. That makes it real simple. New King James is what I use a lot, and that's what I'm reading out of now. Amen? Or Amplified Bible. All right, here we are in John chapter 8. Look at verse 1. Look at this. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him and sat down and taught. He sat down and taught them. I love this, that Jesus was a teacher. Jesus, the Bible says oftentimes, he taught, preached, and healed. He preached the word, taught the word, and healed. But here in this instance, he's sitting and teaching. Teaching instructs, preaching, preaching inspires. Preaching is inspirational. You got it? But teaching is instructional. Oftentimes, you in just preaching, you may not learn how to do something, how to have faith. They can stir you up with faith, but how do I actually even get it? And great preachers will learn how to preach and teach simultaneously or work it in both ways. But teaching instructs. Teaching reveals the plan of God. It explains it. Preaching motivates you to do it. Are y'all with me? That's kind of the difference between it. But here we are. He was teaching. He taught them in the temple. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in his midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that he might have something of which, that they might have something of which accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Again, y'all hear, I've talked about this before. Many people have taught this, that this is a typology of Jesus, of the finger of God writing on the law, because he was writing on stones in the temple. And essentially, some have said that he was showing that he is actually the writer of the law. Remember, God had to finger his, write the law on the stones two different times. The first time he wrote it, Moses came down with it. What happened? He busted him up, got all mad, and started throwing him. Cracked the two tablets, but then he went back up at the mountain again, and God wrote on the stones again, wrote on new stones. So this is Jesus in typology showing us, you're telling me about what the law says, and I'm the one who penned the law. Are you with me? He's showing he's God. Of course, they didn't understand it at the time, but watch this. Verse 9, and then those who heard it, those who heard what? Those who heard what he said to them. Those who heard Jesus' word, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus spoke his word, it convicted their heart. Why? Because his words have light in them, truth in them. Are you with me? They brought law, but he brought truth. They knew law, but he knew truth, and truth is one with Jesus and one with God. Law under the Old Testament was instituted temporarily. It was instituted temporarily because God wasn't able to be in the heart of man. It was to show man that there were consequences for his sin. So it didn't show the true heart of God. The law actually is for the world, to let them know the consequences. Is to suppress evil. It's to suppress evil. You get what I'm saying? It's not, the law doesn't make you right, but it can keep, it can repress you from doing wrong. Suppress you, but not change your heart. So they were standing on the law, but Jesus, the truth, convicted their hearts. And that's the difference between the truth and the law. The law can condemn, and Jesus said, "I didn't come to condemn," but his word, his truth, that light in the face of darkness convicted their hearts. And they came with stones ready to kill, but then they left one by one going, "You know what, maybe not." That truth changed their heart. Come on, somebody. Because you even think, they could have probably even threw a stone right then. So what? But it didn't. It had such an impact. The truth can change your heart. It can change a hard heart and a sinful heart, an angry heart, and make it a soft heart. Now watch this. Let's read on, because the story gets better. It says, and Jesus was left alone standing with the woman. And when Jesus raised himself up, he saw no one. He said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you or judged you?" Right? That's what condemn means. She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. go and sin no more. Look at this next verse. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying to them who? Not to the ones who condemned, because those who condemned booked. The ones with stones. But others were standing there who didn't have stones, who came to hear what he said. And listen to what he says. He said, and the woman was standing there, of course. He says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What's the difference? These guys who came with stones and hard hearts, they heard the truth, and it convicted their hearts. They threw down their stones and walked away. Had they moved towards the light, it would have been able to change their heart and save them. This woman, and that's what Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. She received, her sin was exposed, but it didn't come with condemnation. Y'all, do you hear how good that is? There's no shame when we're born into sin and come to God, even after we're born again and we have addictions or we have problems or we have challenges. There's no condemnation, and this is why we as believers can't condemn one another. We have to love people, because if they can move towards the light, just like with Jesus, the light doesn't condemn you. The light forgives you and then exposes the sin, lets you know that you're wrong, but then cleanses you and expels the sin. The closer I get to the light and the life of God, the more I'm cleansed and free of all the darkness that's in my heart. Come on, somebody, that's good news. That's good news for those that are fighting bondage, that are struggling with addiction, that are struggling with sin, that are struggling with depression. And again, the word contains this light and this life. Are y'all with me? Let's move on a little bit further. I want to read a little bit further in this chapter. Jump on over to verse 31. This is where we started out. Verse 31, I'm going to read on down a little few verses. Y'all with me? Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my... Now watch, y'all get this? His word, when it's spoken, brings light and life and sets people free. He says, now if you live in that, if you live in this word that makes you free, if you live in it, if you live in this word that heals you, if you live in that, it's going to make you free of sickness, it's going to make you free of depression, it's going to make you free. Yes, there will be challenges that come, but because you live by this word, you won't be affected as others will be affected. Come on, somebody, you won't respond the way others respond to situations. Come on, somebody, and that's so vitally important. He says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Watch this. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. That word commits right there, I don't remember how to pronounce it in the Greek, but it's also translated abide. He who lives, cohabits, continues in sin, makes a practice of this sin. Do y'all get it? He said, he who lives in this sin, he says, you're a slave to that sin. Right? Watch this. Watch what they say. What verse was I in? There it is, 35. A slave does not abide. A slave doesn't live in the house. A slave to sin is living in sin. Are y'all with me? He says, for a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free. Now watch. Remember what he said early in verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth is what makes you free. They said, we already know the truth. He said, no, the truth is in the Son. If you know the Son, he's who makes you free. And what he's delineating here, what he's separating here is, we think we know God already. He says, no, you think you know God, but if you knew God, you'd know me and my word. And earlier on in chapter 8, in chapter 5, flip there real quick, they don't have this in the back, but they might be able to get it. If you look at chapter 5 and verse, or do I have it on here? No, I don't. But if you look on in chapter 5 of John, it says verse 36 or so is good. And we're going down to verse 40. Y'all there? You can turn in your Bible. If they don't put it up, that's all right. Oh, make some noise for them in the back. Thank y'all back there. Watch this. He says, Jesus says, but I have a greater witness than John's. Because John gave witness of the light. Remember that in chapter 1? He says, for the works which the Father have given me to finish... the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice. He's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, y'all haven't heard his voice. I know his voice. I know him. He says, nor have you seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. They were arguing and saying, we know the Father. You're making a false witness about who you are. He says, no, I'm not. I'm witnessing about who the Father said I am. He said, John witnessed about me and the Father witnessed about me. I'm not making this up about myself. I don't witness about myself. The Father witnessed about me. And watch this. They said, but we know the Word. We know God. And look what he says in verse 39. 38. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent you, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. They thought that just knowing the law would make them know God. He's saying, no, the law is not God. I am knowing me. I know him. He sent me here as a witness of me. And this is going to be significant as we continue reading in chapter 8, because I've run into believers that say, I love God. I know God. And they sincerely believe that in their heart. But we have to balance that out. Jesus is going to make it clear. He says, you really don't love God if you don't keep my word. And that's what we've got to know. And for many believers, it's just that they haven't known the word. But it's when we find out what the truth says and then we rebel against that, I'll let Jesus say it. Come on, somebody. I don't even know if I'm bold enough to say this. Watch this. Look over in, we're back in John chapter 8. Y'all see it? John chapter 8. Verse was I in? 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, Jesus is saying it's not just the truth. It's the truth that's in the Son that makes you free. The truth is written and living. All right? Here we go. Verse 37. Let's keep going. And I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. Because they're saying, we're Abraham's seed. We know God. We're not in bondage. He says, I know you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. Why? Because my word has no place in you. You're religious, but you don't know the word. Come on, I just described a huge segment of Christianity right here. Religious, but don't know what the word says. Because my word has no place in you. He said, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father. You know that's offenses to them. Watch what they say next. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham didn't do that. You get what Jesus is saying? Y'all ain't Abraham's kids. Watch this. You are in blood, but not in spirit. Galatians talks about that, right? You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, God. We got the same God that you say that you have. Watch what he's saying here. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? He's saying, I'm going to tell you why. Because you're not able to listen to my word. Watch this. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? Jesus is saying it to them. Are your words convicting me? Or are my words convicting you? Whose words are of God and whose are not, is what he's saying. He said, He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. The reason you're not hearing my word is because you're really not of God, even though you think you are. Now, that is a hard saying. Put down them stones. Just put them down. Now, watch. This is vitally important because there's so many believers in our culture that don't understand. If we don't have an intimate relationship with God's word, we can't truly know God. The more intimate we become with his word, the more we get closer and more of that light, which pushes out the darkness, changes our thinking, and puts us in closer relationship with God. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. Let's keep going. Can I read on a little bit further? Watch, it gets worse. They were ready to stone the girl. Y'all remember that? Watch this. Verse 48. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" He said, "Hold up, you must have a demon, Jesus, because you're talking crazy." Watch this. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you are a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than the father Abraham, who is dead and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God." Watch this. "Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word." I do know him. Here's how you know it: because I'm keeping his word. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad." Did y'all hear what he just said? Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old and have seen and you've seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Come on, somebody. Y'all heard that before in Exodus, right? When Moses walked up on that burning bush, told him to take the bush, said, "Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Who are you?" He said, "I am that I am." Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Come on, somebody. He's saying, they recognized what that was, I am. They heard that before. They were Jews. They knew who that was. Then they were so enraged and outraged by it that they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They were wanting to condemn the woman in sin, and they're wanting to judge and stone Jesus. When we don't know the truth, it causes us to kill Jesus and to condemn those who are in bondage and sin. Are y'all seeing that? They condemned her, and they wanted to stone Jesus. Come on, somebody. And would you see what Jesus said the defining line was? The defining line was the word. Amen. Turn on over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. We're almost done, y'all. I kind of like this internet. Y'all good? Go ahead and grab some popcorn since you're sitting right there at home. Grab a hamburger and everything, and we don't have to worry about the floor. Come on, somebody. Pastor Shanae, don't have to fuss. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Y'all heard this before. Now watch, this is why it's so important, y'all, because it's this word. It's the word that's going to change our thinking. It's getting more of this word. And this is why you got to stick with me on this, because right now I'm just showing you the benefits of it, but I haven't shown you actually how to apply it. But this word is truth. It is the final authority. It is wisdom of God. We talked about that. And it is life and light. It is life and light. The more we get it, it cleanses us and brings us light and truth and separates us. The word will begin to separate you. The more you get it, it will make you more not fit in with sinful people who live in sin. Not judging them. In fact, the Bible says what we do as children of light. Here, let me read this. Matthew chapter 5, verse, I can look up on the screen now, right? Yeah. Look at what Jesus said. He said, "You are the," Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16, I believe, or 17. You are the light of the world. First he said, "I'm the light of the world." Now he said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Do y'all hear what he's saying? Our life should be that light, that life of God that resonates in other people's lives. Our life should, our lifestyle should show the life of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the healing of God, the favor of God. We should be those lights. Nor do they put, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may look on, see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not glorify you, but your life should glorify the Father. Our lives should point to the Father and say, I'm a believer and I'm glorifying God in my behavior, in my lifestyle, in my marriage. If in our marriages we're constantly fussing and fighting and bickering and cheating and kind of junk going on, we've got to move towards the light and expose our own pride, our own lust, and make those necessary changes so we can walk in the love of God in our marriages. Come on, somebody. At work, rather than fussing and fighting, we've got to learn to walk in the light of God's love and his word. Amen. Verse 16, did I read that one? Yes. Turn on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 through 6. Y'all there? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll give you a second to turn there. Watch this. We're talking about light and life. Watch this. Paul writes, he says, but even if our gospel is veiled, if it's hidden, if it's veiled, we can't, if it can't be seen clearly, it is veiled to those who are perishing. If we don't get the good news of the gospel, we will perish. All right? Perish. Decay. Whose minds, watch, those who are perishing, the gospel's, back up to that, so I can read in continuity, I'm sorry. But even if our gospel, our good, this good news is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What he's saying here is that the devil doesn't want you to see or move towards this light of God. This light is so appealing to look at. Watch this. When you're walking in your life in the light of God, that light in your life will look appealing to unbelievers. It should look appealing to them. Our life should look blessed enough with the life of God, with the joy of God, with the peace of God, with joy in our marriage, that others would want to go, what is it that you have? What is that peace? What is that joy? I want that. The devil doesn't want them to see that light. Because if that light, he has to blind their eyes to see it. So he has to sell them lies about Christianity. He wants to send them the law that condemns them. The gospel does not condemn. It may convict and expose, but that's why we have to teach the truth in love. And that's a healthy balance that we have to learn, that we can't come down on people, but we have to love them and show them in our lifestyle. The greatest testimony we'll give is in our own lifestyle of peace, especially during times like these. Come on, everybody is suffering in some way right now. Isn't that right? Everybody is, but we have to learn to trust in God, even through these times, lean times or whatever the times may be, that we know that we're coming out of this, we're coming out on the other side stronger. Everything that's been missing and lacking, God's going to restore. That's our faith, and we have to say those things. Y'all notice this, how this is how the devil works with sickness, with every facet in life. What he does is throw a symptom or a sign. A symptom or a sign, be it lack, be it a lump. You're in the shower and you get a pain in your chest, and the symptom comes, but that symptom matched with your spoken words can cause that to manifest. And oftentimes what we do is we see or feel or sense something, and automatically, oh my God, this must be such and such. And that sign mixed with our spoken word causes that to manifest. Whereas if we would instead, by his stripes I'm healed. and you go to the doctor and check it out, and the doctor goes, hey, that was nothing. If that's going to go away, just put this, rub this on it. But if we join our faith to it, and this is what fear does when we listen to television and hear fearful things, this, and pump our fear. Fear and faith work the exact same way. Faith comes by hearing, and fear comes by hearing. And they produce in us belief. Fear coming from words, negative spoken words, will cause fear and cause you to move in the direction of fear, and it becomes gripping. But if you move in faith, if faith and fear both operate on what you can't see. Have you ever done it? You're something, oh my God, and you start imagining, oh my God, what's going to happen when I can't pay this mortgage, when I can't pay this house, what's going to happen? Where am I? And then you start planning out where we going to have to go. What are we going to do? There ain't no more chicken in the store. What are we going to do when this last thigh goes? Them kids eat them last wings. What am I going to do? I was thinking about it. Yeah, I got to be honest. I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, because I went to the grocery store a few times and they were out of meat. And I was just imagining, like, what would happen? Would I have to run over somewhere and... Come on, somebody. Your mind starts imagining stuff. You get what I'm saying? Am I going to have to push somebody down and take that bag of chicken? No, I'm not going to do it. But you see what I'm saying? Thank God we've got the word. Thank God we know that God's going to meet all of our needs. Praise the Lord. Even to the point that we can help meet others' needs. Say amen right there. All right, so did y'all see that? Oh, did I finish reading? Watch what he says here. Back up to that verse right before 2 Corinthians. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan's blinded their minds so that they can't see that light. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves and bondservants for Jesus' sake. He says, we don't preach us, we preach him. We show his light. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness and is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. He's saying that we are to reflect Jesus. We're to reflect that. We are now the light of the world. Say, I'm the light of the world. Look over in Ephesians. We're almost done. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 8 through 14 in the Amplified. Now watch this. This whole part of Ephesians is talking about our walk, our lifestyle. Look what he says here. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. I'm going to go down to 14. Amplified version. For once you were darkness. Hold up. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You get it? Not just walking in it, not just we were darkness, now we are light. Isn't that amazing what the word did to you? Walk as children of light, lead the lives of those native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of the light or the spirit consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life. And try again, and try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Let your lives be constant proofs of what is most acceptable to him. You see what walking in the light means? It is in our behavior too. And the more we get this word, the more it changes it as we walk towards this light. Take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness. But instead, let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. You don't go and hammer them down. Your lifestyle does it. Come on, somebody. For it is a shame to even speak of or mention the things such people practice in secret. But when anything is exposed and reproved, how? By the light, it is made visible and clear, and where everything is visible and clear, there is light. Come on, somebody. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light. Come on, somebody. A quote from Isaiah right there. Y'all see that? So our lifestyle, our life, our joy, our peace, our smile will call, God says, that will reflect the face of Christ to others. And when they see that, that will convict them of their lifestyle. Come on, somebody. We don't have to beat people up. We should love people and be kind to people and show the love and light of Christ. Turn on over in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Where? In the light. Come on. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, I want you to see this right here. Because we are children of the light, we are in the light. He has already delivered us from the power of darkness. Darkness does not have power over you. Light has power over that darkness. Whatever bondage, whatever addiction, whatever stronghold the devil has on you, light will remove it from you. As you stay in the Word. Now watch, y'all. When something has a bondage on you, what you have to do is just get a scripture that declares your freedom and begin to state that, say that, yes, I agree with that for myself. If you're having a problem in your marriage, start saying out of your mouth how much you love your wife. Husbands, love your wife. Thank you, Father, that I'm in love with my wife, that I'm so attracted to my wife, that I'm not attracted to these other people. I'm attracted to my wife. Thank you. You see what I'm saying? You're putting that light that is in the Word, you're putting it in your heart and in your mouth. That will come to pass with time. It will change the darkness that's in your heart and begin to move it out. Practice that. It's with everything. It's with money. It's with health. It's the same way. And I'm on a whole other subject here, but and showing you how to plant this. But you have to plant it the same way it will overcome addictions in your life. Are y'all learning today? Come on, somebody. Let's see. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Amen. Last passage right here, and we're going home. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Look at this. We'll close with this. This is in John, 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, koinonia with Him, if we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Watch what he's saying here. Back up there again for me if you don't mind. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, if we say we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What he's saying is, fellowship with Him, true fellowship with Him, will cause you to be able to walk in light. Now watch how important this is, y'all. Walking in fellowship with Him, that's taking your sin and to Him. The bondage that you have, don't run from Him, but run to Him with it, to the light. Get His Word, practice the truth over that. It'll cause that darkness to be removed. He said, if you really have fellowship with Him, you can't walk in darkness. Hit the next verse, last one. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now watch what he says here too. We have fellowship with Him and we have fellowship with one another. Fellowship should be with God and fellowship with one another. When we have fellowship with Him, that will help us and keep us from walking in darkness. And if we have fellowship with one another, it will keep us from walking in darkness. We need the fellowship with God and the fellowship with one another. Watch what it says. Fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Close your Bible. Do y'all see how important fellowship is? We'll get into some of that on Sunday. But we've got to have fellowship with Him and fellowship with others. Why? Because what you think, you and you're two or three and no more may think what we're doing is all right, but with fellowship with others, you can balance that out. You get what I'm saying? Married couples that struggle need to be with some other successful, need to fellowship with some other successful people. People that have been bound by an addiction need to get with some others that used to be bound by that so they can show you how to get set free. Fellowship with God and fellowship with the believer. Come on, somebody make some noise in this place. That's how you walk in the light. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, I want to thank y'all for joining me today, and I want to thank you for joining us in the Word. And this is how we'll do. This is how we'll do Wednesday night, and this is how we'll do Sunday night until they tell us to do otherwise, until we can get everybody here. But I want to thank you personally for joining me, and I want to encourage you to give. If you're here tonight with me, my team that's here, if you want to sow, of course, we want to encourage you to do that. You can give by your text. Text to give at 336-344-708, or you could give on our website, www.destinygso. Right there while you're live streaming, you can give as well, but we encourage you to give. In fact, if you've got your seed, you could grab it in your hand. We'll make this faith confession real loud and strong together. But first, let me do this. If you're watching today by internet and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you that God's not mad at you. He's not condemning you. God is madly in love with you, and that's why he sent his son Jesus to die for you. So if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to, say this simple prayer with me. Say this: Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead just for me. You're my Lord, you're my Savior, you're my protector, you're my provider, you're my everything. You said that simple prayer and meant it from your heart. You right now are born again. The key is we want you to stay connected to the Word, and then we're going to want you to get in fellowship with other believers, like-minded believers that can help you walk out this walk of faith and love. Listen, I'm so glad you joined us. Join us next time right here on in live streaming at Destiny. We love you. God bless you. I declare you blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the back, right? Hey, y'all, thank you. Thank you. And